Good morning. Well, happy 4th of July. It's definitely still a privilege to live in one of the greatest nations. We still have a lot of freedom that often we take for granted. There's no doubt about that. And there's definitely a lot of individuals that God has used to give us the ability to worship and to celebrate and to live our lives in freedom and in independence. And today's message is more or less about, do you remember? I don't know about you, but there's so many times and so many circumstances when we get caught in the middle of something where we have a tendency to forget. So I want you to think about that today. Do you remember? Our sermon text is going to be taken from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read from chapter 8. We'll go from verse 14 through verse 21. We'll continue in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning at verse 14, reading in his name. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full, broken pieces, did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "And the seven for the 4,000? How many baskets full of the broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this opportunity to gather around it. But also, Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we live in. We praise and we thank you for all that you pour out before us. And Father, we are of all people most blessed. And we ask that you would allow us to show that blessing to the people around us. We ask that you'd sanctify us in the truth because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Mark is a very powerful book. In fact, I remember very strongly when we did the Bible study on it, how when Mark is going into a situation, things happen, and they happen immediately, and it's a very powerful understanding of how quickly the kingdom of God moves. And sometimes we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to forget the consistency of God in our lives. And if we could be honest, even in the last year, it's been difficult to see a lot of positive, but yet here we are. I think a lot of us had probably a decent day yesterday. We probably had a good meal. And even this current administration said that they saved us 16 cents on our whole picnic, so we're doing well. But the fact of it is, we are blessed. Doesn't matter what's taking place around us. When we are the children of God and we are founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have a lot to be thankful for. And we need to live in the freedom that we have. Mark tells us that John the Baptist was taken. And he was taken into captivity, but then we see that he was killed and that his head was served up on a platter. And this really is a very sad account, there's no doubt about it. But this turmoil in the ministry, this turmoil in the power of the kingdom of God entering out into a dark world, there's going to be turmoil. But this is also a great understanding of a threshold where things change, where now John, being of the old prophets, is now past. And now Christ Jesus bringing in the new covenant, he is ushering in very powerfully. So we have this difficulty. And Jesus, he hears this news, and it's heavy upon him because, you know, he is fully human yet fully God. It is a difficult thing to understand or a difficult thing to register. That humanity would be so corrupt in this fashion that when one was out, if you could say, introducing people back to the understanding of who God is, where he didn't threaten, he didn't go and cause turmoil or chaos. He was preaching the word of repentance. And he is killed for it. It's heavy. Jesus wants to take a moment. And to me, that is something that we could learn a lesson from, that when things get heavy, we would take a moment. And he and his disciples are going away. They're going to take and have a private moment. There becomes a real big issue, though. The people start following him in droves. You've heard me say it 100 times. It's not that there wasn't enough religion in this time. There's plenty of religion. But the people needed help. The people were in dire straits in so many ways, with sicknesses and illnesses and loss of hope. I know we don't have that problem going on anymore. I know that's settled, right? Sarcasm. That was called sarcasm. Probably not very appreciated, but we still live in those kinds of moments. There are people out there that are struggling. There are people out there that don't have a clue what's going on. There's people out there that are dealing with financial issues, spiritual issues, health issues, how to provide from day to day. Maybe not so much in this very nation, but in throughout this world, we can definitely see it. And there's plenty of religion still. We have plenty of it. But Jesus is pulling away. And he's going to spend a moment in prayer, but the people, they continue to follow him. And when he gets to the other side of the lake, he looks and he sees the crowd that's there, and he preaches to them and he heals so many. He does a great amount of work. But then I love what he says. We have this first feeding of the 5,000. It's in Mark, just a few chapters, chapter 6. He had compassion on them. He had compassion. This is a true leader. When he saw people that had a need, and he not only felt sorry for them, but he actually joined amongst them and he did something about it. He did something about it. Compassion is not just having pity. Compassion is actually to have the sympathy for the individual with the means and the willingness to do something about it. We all have this ability. We could see people around us that have needs. But Jesse is often afraid. He's afraid of getting involved. That's my humanness. I can't speak for you. I don't want to get involved too much. They might suck me under. They might drain me dry. I don't know what the issue is. It's none of my business. I could get hurt. There's a lot of situations. But Jesus looks at the people. He has compassion on them. He says, we got to do something about this. And his disciples are like, we got to get them out of here. We got to send them somewhere so someone else can take care of it. And he says, no, no. We're going to take care of it. We're going to feed these people. And so we have the first miracle of feeding of 5,000. And this is really where they have the five loaves and the two fish. And so then they're kind of blown away by this. How can he feed so many people? And then after he sends them away, and he stays at the mountaintop to pray. And then we see that after he comes and he walks across the water. I'm telling you this stuff all for a reason. I know you could open your Bibles and you could read it and you could go through it. But the question is, do we remember? Do we remember? So Jesus, after he sends them away, he comes walking out on the water and they have that experience there. There's no doubt about it. It's very powerful because they're afraid when they see what they think is a ghost walking across the water. But then they come across, and now he goes into Gennesaret and he starts to heal people there. They have this great amount of people that have this need and this desire to have restoration. And Jesus enters into their midst and he does this. Then the Pharisees, they start to come after Jesus and they say, well, you know what? You're not doing what we always did. You're not keeping the tradition of the elders. Yeah, you might be feeding people and helping people and doing all these great kind of things. They don't say that's my language in there. But you're not keeping the tradition. Is that often what we're worried about? As the body of Christ, when we enter into this world, that when we see people hurting and stuff like that, make sure they follow all the little seven steps to become a Christian? Or are we dealing with the issues at hand? I'm not saying I'm any different. I have my, as we spoke about last week, I have my line in the sand, there's no doubt about it. But now the Pharisees are going after him, and Jesus says, you're hypocrites. Because you'll keep these traditions that you all observe, but actually when it comes down to it, you break the laws of God. And they're like, well, what do you mean by that? He says, well, actually, what God says very plainly is that the children need to take care of the parents. They have to do this. This is actually what you could call the Israelite social security system. That when the parents raised the children and the children were all old enough to start making a living and stuff, that they would actually continue to support the parents so that the parents would have sustenance in their life when they grow old and can't work. Jesus says, this is how God laid it out. That we would have this love for one another where we would take care of each other. But no. You want more money for the temple. So you tell them, you can forget that rule if you turn around and donate it to the temple, which the Pharisees and all these individuals had their hands in too. It was their provision. He said, so don't come after me saying this. You actually, yeah, maybe we're not observing the traditions you've laid out, but the fact of it is, you're breaking the laws of God. And then he started to talk in this fact that really offended him. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles an individual, because they were talking about being ceremonial clean and making sure not to do certain things on the Sabbath and different things like that. He says, it's not what you're taking in that makes you vile. He says, what comes out of an individual that shows who they are, that's my word, that makes an individual vile. And so now you have an individual that comes to him that would have no business coming to him. Where's the heart of compassion? After he just preached this message to them about how we are to be in this world as a light. So then he comes across and this woman comes to him and she's begging that her daughter would be healed. Daughter would be healed. She has a wicked spirit. Jesus is kind of, if you want to say, kind of more or less ignoring her. And then finally he says, because she is of the Gentiles, it's not right for me to give the food of the children of God to the dogs. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? It's brutal. And Jesse Aho, he would look at him and say, well, who are you calling a dog? But she doesn't. She says, you know what? You're right. I think that's inspiration of the Spirit, that God revealed to her that he came for a certain group of people and there would be opportunity. But she says, I'm not arguing that I'm corrupt. I'm not arguing with you right now, personally, that I'm not corrupt. I am a sinner saved by grace. She says, but even the dogs of the master eat from the crumbs that fall from his table. And Jesus is blown away by this. He says, man, that is great faith. Too many times we spend time trying to justify ourselves and our behaviors, justify to everybody else what's going on around, instead of understanding it is God who is graceful. And so then he says, man, your daughter will be healed. Don't worry about it. Then he heals a deaf man. Then we come to the healing of the 4,000. Why am I telling you all this? Dang it, Pastor, you're boring me. You're supposed to be preaching a message at me. Because it's right in front of us in our book. Do we remember the consistency and the goodness of God? Even as we celebrate even this fourth, this Independence Day of our nation, do we not remember the consistency and the goodness of God? That we are still his people living free in a world no matter what society says. Do we not remember? Have you not remembered in your life when you've gone through circumstances and difficulties? You've gone through cancers, you've gone through diabetes, you've gone through heart issues, you've gone through financial devastation, you've gone through loss. Do we not remember the consistency of our God to hold us? Do you remember sitting at the kitchen table when your children were young and wonder, how am I going to pay this mortgage payment? It is the consistency of God. Do you not remember when your child was in the hospital and he couldn't breathe and your wife was pregnant at home and the nurses had to put your little baby in a tent and you never had a little baby in your life and you didn't know what to do, but God gives you consistency and he gives you comfort through these times. Do you not remember? Do you remember Jesus walked on water? Do you remember Jesus healed the blind man? Do you remember he healed the deaf? Do you remember he can make the lame walk? Or are these just stories? Are they just stories? Fables? So in these days now, he feeds the 4,000 and people are blown away by that. And the Pharisees, they're getting irritated at Jesus once again. And they want to see a sign. Isn't that the depravity of human beings? I'd do this. Left to my own devices, I would say, Lord, show me you're real. Jesse, I've given you 31 years of marriage in spite of yourself. I've given you 4 children. I've given you success through cancer. You've lost multiple family members to different things. I've given you the ability to sustain your life. I give you bread every day. Prove it. There's so many people that live in this world and they say very plainly, if there is a God, can't we see there is a God? Because in spite of the tragedies and the difficulties that we have seen and gone through personally, that we still have success and we still have happiness. Why are we trying to define a God through a fallen world? We do. As human beings, we say, if there's a God, why is there cancer? If there's a God, why is there ALS? If there is a God, why are there diabetes and heart issues? If there is a God, why is there MS? We live in a fallen world. And it is sad. But there is victory through all of these things. Instead of trying to define God through a fallen world, understanding through the evil of this world to define him, we need to open our scriptures. And we need to read them. That yes, even as pastor got up here and babbled on about 3 chapters of Mark, only 3 chapters, you heard all the miracles that took place. How many miracles in your life? How many miracles in your life can you literally say that God has brought you through? Wow. Do we remember? Now they forgot to bring bread. They only had 1 loaf of bread with them. Because, you know, this earthly stuff is the most important thing, isn't it? Because that's how Jesse thinks. And he started to speak to them, and he was talking to them. And I want to say, the word leaven here, I want you to replace it in your mind for a moment. I'm not trying to rewrite scripture. But let's replace it with attitude. Attitude. So Jesus starts to talk to them about the attitude of the Pharisees. He says, watch out and beware of the leaven, or in Jesse's terms, the attitude of the Pharisees, or the attitude of Herod. And really what he's speaking about here is the Herodians. Remember, they would have nothing to do with each other because the Pharisees technically wouldn't hang out with Herodians, but even in one part of the scripture, they come together to try to catch Jesus in a trap. You can read about that in your scripture. But anyways, he says, watch out for the attitude of the Pharisees, of the Herodians. He says, and they start discussing amongst themselves. He's saying, attitudes are catchy. Be careful. We may not realize that, but they are. Have you ever walked down the road? It's so funny. You guys are going to really think I'm insane. But I clean a lot at Lucky. You know, and sometimes you're just kind of focused on cleaning, and then you look in the mirror, and you're like, who's that crabby bugger in that mirror? But then smile. And when I smile at myself, I'm actually happier. Because attitudes are catchy. And we may have Jesse Ajo's concentration face, or the, as we call it, the Matty P. Ajo concentration face, and people think you're mad, but you're thinking. A smile. And when you smile, you win people over. Attitudes are catchy. And this is what Jesus is saying. The Pharisees are dishing out attitude everywhere. They're questioning every good work that's taking place. And you know what? It causes people to start to question and get very disgruntled. So he's just telling his disciples, be careful. Be careful who you hang out with and what you receive from them. Who are you hanging out with? And what are you receiving? Are you the positive one in the crowd? Or are you just taking in what everybody else is dishing to you? He says, be careful of the leaven or the attitude of the Pharisees, the leaven or the attitude of the Herodians. And so they turn around and they're like, ooh, he said leaven. We forgot bread. He's mad at us. Have you ever jumped to conclusions like that? I mean, my poor wife, I do it all the time. I'll come in the house, hi, honey, how are you? And she's like, oh, I'm okay. Oh, she's mad at me. She didn't say wonderful or awesome like she usually does. She said, I'm okay. Well, I assume right away. We have a tendency to do this. We second guess. Maybe someone's just thinking about something. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. Jesus here was talking very practically. Be careful what you receive from those that say they're an authority above you, because their attitudes aren't always the best. And so they start questioning, we screwed up, that they had forgotten bread. And I love it, because it says Jesus is aware of this. He knows what's going on. And so then he goes, what in the world's this got to do with bread? Okay, he doesn't say it that way. He says, why are you discussing the fact that you don't have any bread? This has nothing to do with the subject. Be careful of what you're receiving from others. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but the fact of it is, we just talked about the revelation of God and his goodness reading through his word. Or put an iPhone in, an iPod or whatever, and listen. Listen to his word. Listen to messages. But what do we often do? I'm not saying everybody, because I can't put a blanket statement out. We turn on the news. And I'm sure they're really optimistic about everything going on in our lives, right? I mean, we are heading towards another election in 2022, whether you like it or not. And guess what? We're already hearing about variants. You can have your own attitude on that and your own personal decisions on it, but I find it convenient that we're halfway through 21 and we're hearing about this. What are we receiving? That's my question. I admitted to you a long time ago that I was getting caught up in a lot of this stuff. And why? Because I was watching news instead of listening to the word and being encouraged by God, being sufficient and over everything. It's not about bread, boys. Why are you discussing the fact that you forgot bread? Why? Because you're looking inward. Or you're looking to the sustenance of this world to bring you happiness or peace or comfort. It's not that you don't have need of it. You're going to have need of it. Jesus took care of that on many occasions. We just went through some of them. He says, don't you understand? Don't you perceive? Why are your hearts so hardened? Why? He says, having eyes, don't you see? In other words, God blessed you with the ability to take in what's around you. Do we have that ability? Have you seen God do something amazing in your life? And I'll even say, just once. Just once. Do we not remember it? I'm thinking he's done that a lot more. In fact, I want to ask every one of you. Last night, I'm sure 90% of us went to sleep. While you were sleeping, what did you do to keep your heart beating? God consistently gives. He says, so what don't you perceive? He says, why are your hearts hardened? You don't have eyes, do you not see? You have ears, do you not hear what's going on around you? And then he asks the question, do you not remember? Do we remember? Do we remember the sacrifice of the people that God allowed to fight for our freedoms? Do we remember our families struggling to give us the provision that we have, that God allowed us to have parents or people step in And I know every earthly relationship is not good. I'm not trying to blanket statement that. But we are here today because God continued to provide for us and sustain us. We may have all had different kind of walks. We may have had different circumstances. We may not have had it all perfectly. But we are here today. And God has given his grace. And he's given us provision. Do you remember? And so he says very plainly, he says, do you remember when I broke the 5 loaves? He says, and 5,000 were fed. He says, in fact, I'm going to ask you a question to see if you remember. How many baskets did you pick up? There was an abundance of 12 baskets left over. God's provision is beyond our understanding. He says, or what about the 4,000? That was just in this chapter. What about the 4,000? How many baskets did you take up? And they said, 7. 7 baskets were taken up. And then he turns and he asks one of the greatest questions. Do you not understand? What about you? Do you understand God loves you? That he provides for you? That he continually takes care of you? That though the world is in chaos, though we may question our independence at times the way things are going, that God is still on his throne, Jesus Christ has paid your debt, and that you are free in him. Do you not remember? Do you not understand? You are a child of God. And there's chaos out there. Like I said, we try to define God by the chaos out there, and that's wrong. But now we are the ambassadors of Christ. To enter into this world and not be afraid of getting dirty, not be afraid of getting involved, but actually to enter into this world to share his consistency and his love. Sure, I'll be the first to say, and you may disagree with me, this country is nuts right now. Well, a lot of stuff that's been going on, it's nuts. But it's an opportunity to share the truth. And I'm not saying I'm good at it, but we can pray that God will give us insight, wisdom, and guidance, that we can go out there and we can love people and encourage people and share the truth with people. But also know that here we are. Whether we're going to turn 90 years old or 92 years old or 10 months old, God is consistent in our lives. We are the people most blessed. Enjoy this 4th and enjoy your independence, but allow that your independence may be from other nations, but it is not from God the Father or from Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. You are equipped to make a change. God is so good. Do you not remember? For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Father, we do forget. We are but human and we forget. And we ask forgiveness in these areas. But also, Father, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you will encourage us to know that we are your children, that we are people most blessed, that we find you through the revelation of your word, and that in that revelation we are equipped to enter into a world to bring light. We ask that you would allow each and every one of us to do it in our own way, guided by your Spirit. May we not compare ourselves to anybody else. May we not think that we have to do it in a certain way, but rather, Father, to share your love. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.